Folks, I just want to preach for a bit. I'm not going to preach for long. Then we will get ready to give. And as we said last week, that we feel the Lord has led us to purchase this house in Chamberlain Road as a base for the church office, as a place where we can train people as well. We want to develop a training room there that's really state of the art, that we can do training and video the training as well, somewhere within striking distance of this school, because this is the area that God has given us to work out from, near the varsity and so on. So I just want to preach into that a bit this morning in terms of giving us an understanding why we're giving, and then we'll call you up to give. Will that be okay? And so I just want to first of all thank you as a church for all your giving over the years. This church has been amazing. We want to just thank you for your giving. Thank you for your support. It's so good to see the church full this morning. And what we're wanting to do is to fill this place so that we can reach our city with more and more of a clout and more resources. And this congregation raises almost R1 million a year in giving, just through your faithful giving, your faithful tithing to the work of God's kingdom. And I want to thank you for that. And what we are doing today as we come to give this offering today is really an act of worship and an act of sacrifice as we give to the Lord. It's an act of worship and an act of sacrifice, and we are coming to say thank you to the Lord, and it's well-pleasing to the Lord, because we need to know that as Christians, we live in two realms. We touch two realms, and Gary did a course earlier on this year on money matters, and I think he will do another one in September in our new venue, God willing, on money matters, and he was telling us that we live in these two realms as Christians. There's the realm of the kingdom of God, which we have been called into as the children of God, but we also live in this earthly realm that we live in which we buy and we sell and we pay taxes and our income tax as well. And money is a currency that we use in both these kingdoms. We use money in God's kingdom. We use money to buy and sell, to pay our rent, in this earthly kingdom as well, if you like. And it's important for us to realize that God wants us to be sensitive to both realms. And God wants us to use finances wisely in both realms. And there are times where He calls us to give of our finances in a way that's going to advance His kingdom. And so we want to respond to the Lord this morning by making an investment into His kingdom, making an investment into the kingdom of God. Because that's what He's calling us to do at this time. Jesus Himself spoke about these two systems of wealth, that there's earthly wealth and there's heavenly wealth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Let's just read there this morning. Famous verses we know well. Verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your heart will follow your treasure. And in verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And so it's important for us to be aware of these two realms, if you like, these two systems, if you like. When we went to Australia a few weeks ago, as we went on the plane, we had to set our watches when we got to Australia because they were living in a different time zone. And we had to set our watches. And the pilot said to us, the time here in Sydney, when we landed first in Sydney, he said, is such and such. And we had to fix our watches because it was different to South Africa. And we had to use a different currency. We had to use Australian dollars. And so we needed R7 for one Australian dollar. And so the first couple of weeks, we didn't spend too much money because of the exchange rate. But we had to be aware of that. And when we came back to South Africa, we had to set our watches back again and go back to South African currency. And it's a bit like that in the kingdom of God. We live in this world and we operate in this world, but we're also part of the kingdom of heaven. As we've said before, we're citizens of South Africa. This is my South African old ID book. We're citizens of South Africa, but we're also, brothers and sisters, citizens of heaven. We belong to this heavenly kingdom. And we need to be aware of both. There are earthly treasures, and there's an earthly system, and there's a heavenly system that operates as well. I don't like the word system, but there's a heavenly realm that operates as well. And Jesus told us that we need to be aware of both realms, because if we're not, money can get such a grip on us that it can bring us into bondage. And Jesus reminded us of that. And so if you're just an earthly person, just living for this earthly realm, you will be earthly minded and you'll be living for treasure on earth. But if you're also aware of God's kingdom and his treasures in heaven, you will realize that we're living for another realm. And every time we make an investment into his kingdom, it's registered in heaven. We're sowing into his kingdom. We're sowing into the kingdom of God. Gary, when he did the course, he said, in the world system, a man is so often evaluated as to how much money he has. In the kingdom of God, man is judged by his money, but differently. The world asks, what does a man own? Jesus asks, how does he use it? The world asks, what does a man give? Jesus asks, how does he give? Is he a cheerful giver? The world looks at the money and its amount. Jesus looks at the man and his motive. The world asks how much a man gives. Jesus asks how much he keeps. Ouch. The world looks at the gift. Jesus asks whether the gift was a sacrifice. And so, I must read this, it's great. And so money will buy a bed but not sleep, books but not brains, food but not an appetite, a house but not a home, medicine but not health, luxuries but not culture, amusement but not happiness, the crucifix but not the Savior, religion but not salvation. Money will buy the good life, but not eternal life. And so we must be aware of this as Christians. And Paul writes in Philippians 4 verse 17, and he says this, he says, the Philippians were giving to him, they were supporting his apostolic ministry. And he writes back to them and he says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account, to your heavenly account. And so we need to know this morning, as we give to the Lord, every time you give to the Lord, every time you remember the poor, every time you use money and cash and your resources to advance the kingdom of God, we are making an investment. We really are, brothers and sisters. We are making an investment into a heavenly bank account and into the portals of heaven. We're making an investment there. And so it's so important that we do this and we keep doing this. I had to ask myself as a pastor, is this the right time for us to be buying a house? It's in the middle of the soccer, people are on holiday, we're having a bit of a recession, and you start thinking these things through. But as we thought about it, we thought, no, this is God's timing. And as we give to these things, what happens to us? We break the stranglehold of money on our lives. We break the fear that's over our lives. We break the worry that's over our lives. Because we all worry about finances and money, don't we? We all worry about it. You worry if you've got too much, and you worry if you've got too little. And so Jesus told us, he said, you can't serve God and money, and that's mammon, which is a principality and a power that is at work in the world today. One of the governing principalities and powers in the world today is economics and finance. People going to varsity, most people are wanting to study something in the economic realm, in the accounting realm, because the world lives on this economic system. And we've got rising oil prices, and we've got the JSE, and we've got income tax, and we've got these things that govern our lives as Christians. And yet we also need to be aware that God has his heavenly realm, and as I give, as I sow into his kingdom, it sets me free. It sets me free. It's good to give because it sets me free. And Jesus told us that. And so there are two ways of living, two ways of viewing wealth, two treasures, two perspectives, two rewards, two masters, and two securities. Hallelujah. And so this morning, what we're going to be doing is good for us. It's wonderful because it builds us up spiritually and it keeps us free from the pull of the world. It keeps us free from the love of money. It keeps us free from the fear of money as well. And so I just want us to turn to Mark chapter 6, and I want to just read the feeding of the 5,000, and out of that just pull one or two points this morning as we come to give, as this passage will help us to understand these two realms that we live in. And we looked at this when we went through Mighty Mark, but I want to pull some other points out this morning for us to understand these two realms. It's about the feeding of the 5,000. And it says in verse 30 that the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Mark 6, verse 30. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And so when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And he took up 12 basketfuls full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men, besides women and children as well." So I just want to bring a few points out in this passage this morning. First of all, there are times where we need to hear God and bring what we have to Him for Him to multiply it. We need to bring what we have to the Lord for Him to multiply. There are times where God will tap us on the shoulder and say to us, "I want you to give towards something. I want to use your resources. I want you to respond to this." And here in this passage, we see that Jesus wanted to do a miracle. He wanted to heal. He wanted to feed the 5,000 people. Later on, he feeds 4,000 people. And he wanted to do a miracle. And in John's gospel, it tells us that he was testing the disciples, but he knew already what he wanted to do. And there are times in our lives where God wants to do a miracle. There are times in our lives where he wants us to take the cash we've got and he wants us to do a miracle. And here was one of those occasions. And the disciples wanted to send them to ShopRite and to Pick and Pay to go and buy food. Just get rid of them. Let them go and buy some food. Let's get rid of these people. But Jesus wanted to use that occasion to perform a miracle. And we need to understand these moments as Christians. We need to understand sometimes you're talking to someone. And God speaks to you and you know you need to give towards them. Sometimes God stirs you in an area and you give. It happens to me sometimes. God speaks to you, give to someone, and afterwards you think, "What did I do? Is anyone else like that?" And my wife always sorts me out. She says, "Oh, stop it. It's good to give." But we need to understand the moment, and there are times where God says to us, "I want you to give. This is a moment you need to understand. I want you to give." And we've come to such a moment today where this historical day for us as a church where we're going to buy a property to the glory of God. And there was such faith here on Thursday night. I was standing over there praying and people were saying, "No, we don't just want 225. We want to pay the whole bond off. We want to pay it all off." And people were coming up and praying. And I was due to preach on Jonah and I scrapped my Jonah message. I thought, I'm so excited about this because this is a historic day today as we purchase this property for the glory of God. And as we move into this house and use it to train and raise the next generation, I still believe God will give us an auditorium. I believe this is a first step on the way for all that God wants to do amongst us. And I'm so excited about that. And we need to know that there are times when the Holy Spirit will speak to us about giving. And we need to respond to that. At other times, Jesus doesn't perform miracles every day. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Let's just look there. That's why we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. Verse 7, it says, "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." You see that? So the disciples were on their way to ShopRite. And he starts talking to this woman. So why didn't Jesus perform a miracle here? Why did they ever have to buy food? Jesus could have just prayed over the bread and the fish every day. But there are times where we need to buy food and we need to rent a house and we need to go to work. Like, that's important. But there are other times when God wants to do a miracle, and we need to be sensitive to that. Our challenge is not going to work and paying our rent. We know we should do that. Our challenge is to be open when the Holy Spirit says, I'm wanting to do something now with your finances. And so Jesus taught us to pray that prayer, Lord, give me today my daily bread. And he taught us that prayer because essentially he was teaching poor people that needed daily bread every day. But sometimes God says to us, give me your daily bread. Sometimes God says to you, your daily bread, don't eat it, give it to me because I want to multiply. And God will take what we give him and he will multiply it and he will bless it. And we will find that he uses it to advance his kingdom. And when we begin to see our Christian lives like that, it becomes an adventure. It becomes an adventure with the Lord as he takes hold of our cars, our houses, our finances, and he uses them to extend his kingdom. Secondly, I want you to see from this passage that God accepts what's in your hand. God accepts what you give him. God will never judge you or find fault with what you don't have. Whether it's your gifts, whether it's your talents, whether it's your finance. Oh, you know, I'd love to give 10,000 rand today, but I can't. I can only give 50 rand today. That's fine. God accepts what's in your hand. He just wants you to be faithful to that. He wants you to respond to that. And we find right throughout the scriptures, God said to Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? He said, a staff. Elijah and the woman with the oil, remember, he said, what's in your house? She said, I've just got a little bit of oil. He said, give that to me. And we find here in this story, there's a little boy with a lunchbox. And he'd been so spiritually hungry that he'd put his lunchbox down and the whole day he was listening to Jesus. And Andrew noticed there was some fish and bread in the lunchbox. And he said, psst, can we use that? We've got nothing else. And he gave it to Jesus. And God will take what you give him, brothers and sisters, and he will use it to multiply and for his kingdom. Because God loves it when we have that kind of giving heart. And your heart needs to regulate your hands when you give. And that is what God is looking for. He's looking for a willing giver. He's looking for us to make that sacrifice. And he will take it and he will accept it and he will use it for the extension of his kingdom. And so that's what we're doing today. We're coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, we're giving you what we have. It says that God does not find fault, but he receives what we give him. And he receives it for the extension of his kingdom. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was writing to one of the poorest churches, the Macedonian churches. And he says this when he writes to them. He's provoking the other churches to giving because of their example. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, he says this. For if the readiness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. So all God is looking for is an open heart, a readiness to make that sacrifice, to bless and to advance his kingdom. And he will take that and he will bless it and he will multiply it. And I believe we're going to see, I'm going to pray over this basket just now with the elders. I feel we're going to see a multiplication of finance in this church. We need to do this because it's important for us to remember that God has provided for us before. And he will meet this need today as well. And so we need to remember the things that God has done for us in the past. We need to remember this. We're wrestling against this God of mammon. We're wrestling against this fear. We're wrestling against this financial thing. Every day we think about finances. Every day we worry, do we have enough? And many of us, you may feel there's too much month at the end of my money. But God is wanting to teach us to trust him, church. God is wanting to teach us that and to break free from this worldly system that we live in. And so we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we find that later on, Jesus speaks to his disciples in Mark. If you just turn over the page, in Mark chapter 8, the disciples get into the boat. Now, he's just performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000, and he's just fed 4,000 people. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 14, it says, and they had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had one loaf with them in the boat. So they're arguing if they've got enough sandwiches for the fishing trip.
And Jesus cautioned them and he said, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. We need to be aware of these spirits that will grip us and pull us into fear. And giving is a way of breaking free. Hallelujah. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. They still didn't get it. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said 12. Jesus gives attention to detail. He's better than I am. And then he said, and the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? And brothers and sisters, we need to look back in our lives and we need to remember the times that God has provided for us. And we need to join the dots and we need to make the connection. And we need to know, if I give today, you know what? God's going to bless me. And God's going to provide for me because he's done it before. He's done it over and over and over again. And listen to me, every time God provides for you, it becomes a reference point for the future. You can look back and you say, you know what? God's done it before. He'll do it again. God's done it before. He'll do it again. And these disciples were in the boat and they were worried about the. Jesus said, come on, man. I've just fed 5,000. How much was left over? I just fed 4,000. How much was left over? And you still don't understand. And we need to look back on our lives. And we need to remember that God has provided for us in the past. And God will provide for us again and again and again and again and again. We all have a spiritual history in God. And we need to remember the past. We forget things. We forget how he's blessed us. We forget what he's done with us. And we need to remember, hang on, God provided for me. Couldn't pay my varsity fees. God came through. I didn't have food at home. God blessed. I didn't know how I was going to make it. God came through. I need to get married, but Lobola is so expensive. God came through. Hallelujah. He's done it before, and he will do it again and again and again. And every time he does it, it increases our faith for the future. And so this morning we're raising funds for a house. But the time will come in the future where we are going to raise funds for an auditorium. And God has things for us to do. To send Krista off. To do things. To plant churches. And out of this church, he's going to raise more and more funds as we trust him. And as we look back in the past and say, you know, Lord, you've been good to me. I don't fear the future. Because you're walking with me into the future. When Joshua and the Israelites crossed over into the promised land. You remember that story? They had to take stones out the river. You remember that? And put those stones on the bank, those memorial stones. And Joshua said to the Israelites, the reason we're doing this, those stones were buried in the river. They had to go down and pull them out the mud and put them on the banks. So what are you doing this for? He said, so that when our children one day ask, what do these stones mean? We can say, this is where God provided for us. This is where God led us. This is where God took us through. And we have a situation today, brothers and sisters, where we forget God's goodness. We have rich nations in the world that now call themselves developed nations. They've forgotten that they're rich because of the gospel. America is where it is because of the gospel. England is where it is because of the gospel. And these nations have become great because of the gospel. And we need to look back in the past and remember what God has done. And in the Old Testament, it was physical stones. In the New Testament, it's living stones. We're all living stones. And we all have a testimony here this morning about God's goodness and about God's provision. And it may be buried away under the surface like those stones were in the river. But as we pull it out, say, you know what? God's been good to me. I want us, as we come to a close and we get ready to give, I want us to understand this moment. God is calling us to give. To further his kingdom. I want us also to bring what you have in your hand for God to multiply. It may be 10 rand this morning. It may be 100 rand. Give it to God. He'll multiply it. He'll use it for his kingdom. And as you give it away in faith, remember the past blessings, the way God has blessed you. Because he'll use that to increase your faith for the future. So we're going to get ready to give. And so let's stand together as a congregation. As we get ready to give. Amen. All right.